Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Once again, Mid-Flight Brawl is brought to you by our good mates at Heaps Normal. Delicious, refreshing, independent, non-alcoholic beer. It is good stuff. Get over to heapsnormal.com, chuck in duty free at checkout to get yourself some free shipping all around Oz. I'm on the website at the minute. There are two options, of course. They got the Quiet XPA, the 2021 World Beer Awards Australia winner, and their new one, Another Lager. The prices have come down a bit. You shouldn't normally mention price in a thing like this, but occasionally people go, man, it's a little over $60 a slab. It's non-alcoholic beer. Think of the money you're saving on the back end. No unnecessary 2 a.m. dollars dropped on a bag of the old Pablo Escobags, if you know what I mean. Woo! No taxi. You can walk home. You can handstand walk home. You save the money on a kebab. Who's eating a sober kebab? An insane person would eat a sober kebab. That's not happening if you tuck into the Heaps Normals. Get there, heapsnormal.com, duty-free at checkout, free shipping around Australia, and help support the lads at MFB HQ.
Hey, I'm Nick Cody.
And I'm Luke Heggie. Throughout human history, there have been countless scuffles, melees, and fracasses. When planes were invented, we didn't magically just stop belting the shit out of each other.
So ladies and gentlemen, strap in, kick your shoes off, recline your seat without checking, drink your duty-free, and start staring aggressively at strangers. This is Mid-Flight Brawl.
Mid-air madness, passengers trading blows.
Mid-air brawl on board a scoot flight from the Gold Coast.
At LAX.
Thrown off a flight from Bali.
A disruptive passenger on board.
Cussing, screaming, spitting, even urinating.
Many of them have been captured on cell phones.
Where's the lady that started the
I hope this crashes. Out the fucking door!
Welcome to Mid-Flight Brawl. Any tip rat can fly now, and here's what happens when they do. I'm Nick Cody. Oh, and Heggie's not here. I am solo for this brief intro for this Kraken ep. Heggie's on the ep, obviously, but these intros we do a little bit closer to the time the episode comes out. And obviously we're in different states at the minute. A lot of tours going on. LukeHeggie.com for his tour dates. NickCody.com.au for mine. I believe Heggie's in Brisbane or Sydney this weekend. I'm in Perth. Then we're in Hobart and Launceston in July together for some mid-flight brawls. Midflightbrawl.com for those. Anyway, enough plugs. Heggie wanted to do it solo. He wanted to do the intro solo like his hero, Alan Jones, but he ran out of time. Obviously, very busy man. I'm doing Brekkie Radio, interstate gigs. The last few days I've been filming something for 8 hours a day after radio and have two kids under three, yet I'm here because I'm good with time management. Some people,
your mate,
decide to do things like spend hours cooking free-range rotisserie chickens in their driveway when they could just spend $8 at a chain supermarket for pre-cooked ones with free steroids in it already to get fucking shredded and instead be doing work with their spare time they didn't waste doing an amateur job of some poultry roasting next to their car. Anyway, I'm not here to judge. It is fun to fucking dig in, though. The King Heggie rarely lets his guard down like this, and I'm sure I am in for an absolute verbal coward punch the next time he gets the opportunity to do this. Thing I'm most excited about, though, if you're not on our Instagram, at Mid-Flight Brawl on Insta, posted a video the other night. This has gone absolutely ham. Heggie sent it to me, and the message he attached was this: Perth to Melbourne, worst ever. Massive woman, wound needed redressing. Had to sit forward on the very edge of my seat the whole time so it didn't touch me. She slept real well, got on with her de facto, paid for exit row. Spilt half a takeaway iced coffee on the floor at my feet. Oh, I assume that was her. Her jumper fell off. fur at one stage, so I ground it into the wet coffee stain with my feet. Fucking nightmare. Have a look at the video. Poor Heggie, squashed up against the window. I've got a crook neck at the minute because I flew back from the Goldie the other week next to a big boy, and I was in the aisle, but I was sleeping as if I was in a fucking my son's single bed, a three-year-old single bed, just scrunched up on the flight, big unit in the middle. It's happened to Heggie. The video has gone absolutely bunter because the person next to him is squashing him up against pretty much the window. He's not happy about it, but when is he happy about anything? And that she's got a sleeveless top on, a wet wound. The dressing is a wet wound, and it's pushing up against
your mate,
Heggie. And I'll tell you what.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Does make you think. Wear a jumper. If you've got a wet wound on your fucking arm, you got to cover it up on a plane. Good ad for Heaps Normal, actually. I assume Heggie was tucking into those because if I'd sniffed alcohol, I would have started throwing. So get on there at Midflight Brawl on Instagram. Have a look at the video. Heggie's very upset. Don't comment on it, though, because at the minute, we're up to 69 comments. And I've never seen something with this amount of comments where everybody is on Heggie's side. A couple of people obviously laughing at him, but they're still on his side. 100%, 100% to zero. Josh wrote, "This has brought me incredible joy, Heggie." My favourite was Cam Spamalam. Heggie should have gone Murray's bus. If you've heard the Canberra episode, you'll know what that's about. The Canberra live ep from a couple months ago. Should have gone Murray's bus. Could have taken your whippersnipper too. Sarah wrote, "The sleeveless arm must mean they're wearing the finest Bintang singlet and connecting via Perth on his way back from Bali, Australia's seventh state. Ov's had too many cans and came off a scooter while experiencing the local culture." Get on there at Midflight Brawl on Instagram, and it's a fucking great video. I'm flying to Perth tomorrow, Friday. I'm going to Perth, and I'm hoping for the same thing. But enjoy the episode. It's an absolute ripper. Get around Heggie on socials. He's obviously a little bit flat. His flight was a sad one. So at Heggie Luke on Insta, send him a nice bloody, you know, nice little pep talk. Send him maybe a hang in there, poster of the cat. He loves that sort of stuff. Live, laugh, love. Any of those. Heggie's all about them. That's why he's got them all up around his apartment. So send him some nice little messages, you know, anything you've seen in your Pilates studio, send it along. He'd greatly appreciate it. And enjoy this episode of Midflight Brawl.
Mate, this week we're heading over to Birat Nagar, Nepal.
Wow.
Place that you're quite likely to go one day to finally find yourself through the tried and true methods of dreadlocks, hemp clothing and poor personal hygiene. Maybe some poetry while you're at it, just for good measure.
Have my own eco farm. Look, guys, I abandoned my family to grow apples.
I think eco housing's come a bit of a way. Remember when they just used to call eco housing just corrugated tin walls? They just get roofing, put the walls on, and this is eco housing. Yeah, no, it's not. It's just roofing for walls. That's all it is. Looks cold.
Have you seen that crazy type of house? I think they built a bunch of them in Arizona or something, where it's this weird fucking dirt. It's like dirt and tires.
No.
And it's got its own little sort of biodome. Great film, by the way. One of your favourites.
I've actually seen some of Biodome, and it's one of the worst things, I reckon, still some right of. Up there.
I've watched the whole thing numerous times. Oh,
who's the guy in it? Is it the comedian?
One of the Baldwins and Paulie Shaw.
Paulie Shaw, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
One of the worst. Oh.
And I think Kylie Minogue was in it.
I was just going to say, the bit I saw was them getting some shielders in there. Fairly sure one was Kylie Minogue sneaking them into the biodome. What an appalling time.
But these houses, it's got the vibe of something I could picture you living in, Heggie, one day.
Cops
hack into your laptop and find your manifesto and you've got a fucking door runner to the Northern Territory.
House out of dirt and tyres.
Yeah.
Living in an ant mound with a bit of a rubber twist. Having said that, though, interesting joint, Nepal. Like a lot of poor countries, quite partial to a bit of hocus pocus.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. In Nepal.
What type of hocus pocus? What are we talking?
Well, you see an upside down sandal on the floor.
Yeah.
Turn it over or it'll ruin your day, as will cutting your nails at night. So.
Wow. Okay.
And leaping over a broom. Don't ever do that.
What's the other?
And my favourite.
Hold on. Does that mean the broom's on the ground or someone's sweeping with it and you jump over it?
Jump over the person sweeping. No, I would think it's on the ground. You can step over it. You're supposed to pick it up.
Wow.
I don't know. And my personal
Who favorite, is picking up a solo thong on the ground? Leave that alone.
No, no, no.
That's crime scene.
You see it out on the in the wild. It means outside the door, there's all these shoes sitting there. One of them's upside down. Don't just step over and walk off and start your day of work. Turn the sandal back over so it's up the right way.
It's like scrubbing a bit of above the waterline shit out of a bowl.
Yeah, pretty much.
That you didn't do.
That I didn't do. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying if you didn't do it and you go into piss in a cubicle, there's a bit of shit on there, get rid of it.
With your pee.
No, well, try with that.
Try with that.
But if not, give it the brush. Give it the toilet brush.
Well.
Leave the toilet cleaner than you found it.
Unless it's days old, you can't get it off with your pee. Go back to your doctor. Sort it out. One of my favourites, though.
Your prostate's swollen. That should be, if you don't want to finger up the date, they just show you some old piss in a toilet bowl.
Some old shit.
If you can't blast it off.
Yeah, blast that off. You'd be all right.
Prostate's gone.
Here's one. Sitting on a pillow will give you a headache. Maybe they call pink eye a headache.
Mm.
I don't know. Anyway, on Nepal, got stuck in, over at Murderpedia, there are but four murders listed.
Wow.
Four murderers, rather. One of whom is Charles Sobhraj, who had his own Netflix special. Did you see that? Pretty good.
No.
Oh, that was The Serpent.
No, I have
you
not
the
seen
serpent?
That.
Seen The Serpent? Oh, pretty good.
No.
That was a good one.
You spoke last week about Daniel Towns' podcast.
Yeah.
And the Netflix algorithm. I reckon our algorithm's very different.
Quite different. Yeah.
You're hearing a lot of this in shows you watch.
Yeah. And you're hearing a lot of Paulie Shaw et al. I reckon I'm getting more laughs off mine. I reckon I laugh more during the murder ones than you do during the comedy ones, and you love those fuckheads.
Well, again, we spoke about video shops in the intro last week. I reckon that's Biodome. The reason I watched it is because something I actually wanted to watch was out.
Everything else.
When I was a kid, maybe Dumb and Dumbers. All the Dumb and Dumbers were gone.
All the Dumb and Dumbers?
Yeah, as in it was a new release around Biodome time.
Oh, right.
I want to watch Dumb and Dumber. It would have been a film like that. There's Something About Mary, Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, would have been in that realm.
Yes.
None of those. Ah, fuck, all right, let's go Biodome.
I tell you, your whole youth was just going to the Jim Carrey aisle by the sounds of this.
Man.
the other one on Murderpedia, there was a mass shooting at a temple, standard.
Yeah.
The third was in 2012 when Mahadevi Yadav was convinced by her guru, bad sentence this, that her witchcraft skill set would be complete only after she sacrificed her nephew.
Oh, jeez.
So she did it. Not her fault. Got told to do it.
And how are her skills?
Well, yeah, pretty good. I mean, she's, you know, in the four walls she's in, she's still practicing. I don't know. Who knows? the fourth was Dipendra Bikram Shah, who in 2001, he was a prince. And was denied his choice of bride by his mother.
Sorry, just before we get into that, is Bikram an actual
it's a name.
Popular middle name there, or is this just a, you know, when you see someone called Harley Davidson, you know?
No, it's pretty popular. It's a Christian, it's a first name, not a Christian name. Sorry, beg your pardon.
Yeah.
It's a first name, as in Bikram Chowdhury. But yeah, this guy was Bikram, Dipendra Bikram Shah. Didn't get the bride of a choice, so he killed his mother, brother, sister, and father, who was the king.
Whoa.
Then he shot himself, right?
Hold on.
Just to finish the job.
Didn't do it properly, though.
Well, yeah, but he did. He did manage to do a stint in hospital in a coma for 3 days and then died straight after that.
Like a rainbow fading in the twinkling of
like the King of Pop. Good news, though, during those 3 days that he was in a coma, he was pronounced king.
Oh, what?
Well, he killed his dad, didn't he? So he became the king.
Why wasn't that in bloody Alanis Morissette's ironic song? It's like becoming king after you murder your dad, but you're in a coma.
Birat Nagar, right?
Yeah.
Is a gateway city to eastern Nepal as well as northeastern India. Bit of a cricket town, as well as birthplace of many Nepalese leaders and the epicenter of democracy. It's also the home of none other than Bola Rijal, a recently discovered hero of mine for his ability to pivot. His two careers are what? I'll give you one. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
One's arts-based and one's science-based. Which one do you want?
All right. Hold on. Painter into anaesthetist.
You're not doing too badly here. I'll give you one of them. Do you want the science one? I'll give you one.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Give me science.
Gynecologist.
Oh, rapper.
Oh, nah.
Poet.
Yes.
Oh.
He's got to be the world's foremost gynecologist poet.
There once was a man from Nantucket.
Yeah. I don't know about this. Like that's, I wouldn't even hire a plumber who's also an electrician.
Oh, fuck.
Master of one's better. It's like when you,
yeah.
You know, I wouldn't buy Kung Pao chicken from a shop that also does fish and chips. This is that to the power of 10.
That was the exact example I was about to give.
Oh, sorry, man. Yeah.
It's good to know we both walk away from the same things.
Oh, yeah. One look in there. Yeah, nah, sorry. Dim Sims, don't think so. Not in a fish and chip shop. Anyway, the year of this particular incident happens to be 1973. And the aircraft is a DHC-6 Twin Otter.
Right.
Twin Otters, they have a checkered history, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a de Havilland Canadian 19-passenger plane, STOL style, short takeoff and landing.
Yeah.
Tricycle style, three-wheeler, you see, favoured by parachute lunatics.
And you know what I don't like? It's currently marketed as the Viking Air.
Yeah.
I don't like, you know, any plane named after a group that went by ship. No, thank you.
What would you prefer, like a Pegasus or something?
Yes.
Anything.
Anything. Even Airbus, even though it's got bus in it, so it does take the sheen off flight, you know, it's still got air. Great.
Yeah, I know. Well, this and another pivot situation, you can replace the wheels with floats or skis. No worries. So,
sick. Oh, man, I'm having a look on Google Images now. You know what? You know where I've got this? I just realised. I said I'm cool with an Airbus, but not with a Viking Air.
Mm.
I reckon if it was called an Air Viking, I don't know, sounds cooler.
Oh,
more
better.
With it. But I'm having a look at one of the seaplane. Have you ever been on a seaplane?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Don't know if it was a Twin Otter, but yeah.
How was it?
Pretty small, scary.
Yeah.
Don't know, not my thing. Long time ago. Don't think I'd do it again.
No?
No.
Yeah, I don't.
Got responsibilities to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you say, now known as the Viking Air Twin Otter. Restarted production in 2008 after a two-decade break.
Nostalgia just in time for the global financial crisis.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I got to know about stopping something like that and then just starting up production exactly the same again. It's like when they started to make Polly Waffles again. Classic Chalky bar. Didn't work second time.
Nah.
And yet I can still spot the odd Chiquito bar, the shit cousin of the Polly Waffle, in the supermarket shelf. Criminal.
Yeah. That was a big one in my house when I was a kid, a Polly Waffle.
Great one.
Do you remember the Vice Versa?
No.
There's one called a Vice Versa, white chocolate and dark chocolate together.
Top deck?
Nah, bit different.
Right. I mean, rarely for me will anything successfully make a comeback after an extended hiatus. People move on, unless it's Hey Hat Saturday.
Yeah.
In which case, trundle out the lads for some more time capsule laughs. Timeless, I beg your pardon.
I do want to know what Daryl Summers was up to. Between Dancing with the Stars, getting wheeled back out for that, and Hey Hey, It's Saturday.
I'll tell you, he's neck in cash. Channel 9 Kakash. Quite a few incidents and accidents, hints and allegations involving the Twin Otter. Large amount of collisions mid-air for mine. That's nothing to do with the plane, I wouldn't think. Or must have a wicked blind spot on the list. A lot of fucking mid-air. Just, I don't know. Must have a pillar or something right down the middle of the windscreen. Can't see another plane right in front of you. They crash into mountains, beaches, the snow.
All terrain. So it's an all terrain shit vehicle.
It is.
Desert. Desert, mountains, water, cities. It'll smash into you. Get one.
Famous alumni, Panamanian president Omar Torrijos.
What's he doing? Torrijos,
beg your pardon, died in 1981. I say president, but in a joint like Panama, doesn't really matter. He was maximum leader of the Panamanian Revolution.
Great.
So wasn't actually president. Sick.
Like the loss of sunlight on a cloudy afternoon. Gone too soon.
I went down a bit of a hole with this.
Yeah.
The maximum leader. He did, as a revolutionary, he did initiate the Canal Treaty that gave them power of the thing rather than the US controlling it from 1999. And his son became legit president in 2004.
Oh.
By the way, though, you take control of a country like that in a coup d'etat, you will, one way or another, die violently. This one was light weather, no mechanical issues, just pilot fuck up once again.
I reckon that is the closest to a peaceful death for a leader like that.
Although the Soviets and Noriega did insinuate that the US had planted a bomb on the plane, which is impossible because that would constitute terrorism. And I know for a fact that Americans deplore terrorism. In fact, afterwards, it's a bit of a whoever smelt it, dealt it thing for me. Biggest beneficiary was Noriega himself, who became de facto president for 6 years in the 80s and made a shit ton of cash from running drugs. So maybe he put a bomb on the plane.
De facto again, never great.
No, not a great word, is it?
Brings a lot of stink with it, de facto.
Yeah. Oh, every cloud though, Noriega, he died old.
We had a theory. There's never been a father of the year that was a de facto.
Absolutely.
Any country. You go to any country, father of the year award, never a de facto.
Oh, you're also hundreds of times less likely to kill each other if you're married. De factos don't mind a bit of bloody, you know, four. Yeah, old Noriega, he died quite old, rare for a dictator. But he had done a fair bit of bird in the US, France, and Panama. Oh, like second half of a military dictator's life, no good. They're like models. Just a shit time.
Falls off quick.
Yeah. Sorry, what's that? You're ugly.
Yeah.
Bad news for you. Yeah. See ya.
Hot till you're 45. Then it's...
Oh, you forgot to use your brain for all that time. Sorry. Sucked in. One time... In a rescue operation, we're still on the Twin Otter here, so we'll get in soon. In rescue operation in 1978 in Jonestown, Guyana,
yep,
one of our favoured locations, a Twin Otter got attacked by cultists, took off and got away. That's how tough this plane was, while another Twin Otter got attacked and everyone was shot dead. So you win some, you lose some.
Fuck, some balls, it's like the kid that had nunchucks at school. If you've got two...
Turn on the props and start doing spins.
Yeah, you've got turbo props.
Just do some donuts. Good luck.
Burnouts on the runway. Fuck off. Everyone stay back. Stay back, everyone.
It's a, more advanced version of lying on your back on the bed and just kicking with your feet till your brothers fuck off. And I'm fucking kicking. I'm fucking kick. Doing the bicycle kick.
Did someone just die recently who almost died, or did they die running into one of those?
Oh,
trying to get on after like a league match or something.
Oh,
or a cricket match.
I mean, the golfer, Jack Newton did. He just
the golfer.
Pissed, walked
that's
into
right.
one.
Yeah.
That was a while ago. That was early 80s.
And he lived, didn't he? Lost an arm.
He did. Lost an arm, lost an eye, I believe.
Fuck.
Still played golf. Whatever. Can't be that hard golf. One arm, one eye. Still going. That's a fucking handicap.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This particular Royal Nepal Airlines flight was going from Biratnagar to Kathmandu, the namesake
like
of your favourite shop where you can get synthetic puffer jackets and substandard camping gear.
Sorry, we imagine butted heads running into the same door then.
I was going to say the same thing this whole episode. I'll set myself up. I'm going to give you a fucking insult before you get one on me.
Nothing better. It's like when two boxers both try and land the same uppercut at the same time. They sort of hit forearms and go, "Hey, cunt, I know what you're up to."
I don't reckon I'll be cruising around Nepal in a small plane. Those mountains, they come at you from all directions. I'll just walk, which is also dangerous.
I think Nepal has the most dangerous airport in the world, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think it's Kathmandu, but yeah, I think you're right. It's one of their other...
And Nepal Airlines isn't great either.
No, it's in the bottom 20 consistently, bottom 10 or something. But then, you know, unfair.
It's always up there with Corgo. Is it Corgo? Is that the Koryo. Koryo Airlines, the North Korean one.
I found an airline recently and I haven't done enough research yet. I'd like to call Crispy Airlines. I'm not getting on that. I think it's Cameroon.
Hold on.
I think it might be defunct. I've got to look more into it. Sorry. I shouldn't have brought it up. Should have done my research. Should have done my own research.
By the way, shout out to Rex Airlines hooking up with Delta. Good work, Rex.
Oh, yeah? What's that? Why is that good?
I don't know. Rex have somehow got a co-chair. They're hanging out with the big dogs now.
Yeah, right. Co-chair.
Incredible.
What? Just in Australia?
Yeah, so Delta passengers flying into Australia, say they land in Sydney, Rex will take them to Brisbane or Melbourne or wherever the fuck they're going.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Rex has always been a bit, you know, Brisbane bus lines to me.
Yeah, I told you. They had an engine just fall off.
Yeah.
Over Albury Wodonga. Just landed in the forest, kept going, landed. Which actually that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's what happens when you name your plane after a dog. Yeah, I wouldn't get a plane in a pod, I'd just walk. But, I mean, death comes slower via hypothermia or starvation. This particular plane had some cash on it being transported to Kathmandu by Nepal Rastra Bank.
Great.
That was the most valuable passenger. Three boxes of cash. Mr. Girija Prasad Koirala thought, I'll have that. Not for me, obviously. It's for restoring multi-party democracy to partyless country led by the King of Nepal.
Of course.
We need guns, and to get them we need cash.
Yeah.
So he selflessly thought he was going to take it.
By the way, a box of cash is just off.
It's great.
Doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a thick shake with a paper straw. You go, no, something's not right here. Cash should be in suitcases or duffel bags.
Oh, handcuffed to a lackey.
Yeah.
They lose a hand, who cares? Durga Subedar was another bloke. Not to be confused, of course, with Durga Subedi, the modern-day cricket umpire who has presided over 5 ODIs and about a couple of dozen 2020s. This Durga Subedi had been in prison where he had plenty of time to read. The classics? No. He read about the hijacking of JAL Flight 351 and it struck a chord.
Oh, great.
Some Japanese larrikins hijacked a plane.
How do they get that book in there, though? Jail's a bit more relaxed over there.
Well, I mean, you know, there's also just leftover library books and shit, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Not many people are just read. You've seen how many shit books there are around.
Oh, my favourite. There's one at a park near my place. There's a bookcase with a door on it, you know, like a community book. And I think whoever put it there is like, this is great for the community. And it would be great if everyone was made up of the type of person that put that thing there.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Well, it's just got turds and shit in it.
It's just 10 copies of 50 Shades of Grey next to fucking where kids play.
Da Vinci Code. Yeah. 12 copies of Da Vinci Code. Yeah. You're not getting classics out of those boxes. They've got a few around here too. No good. Yeah. I always stop and have a look out of curiosity. Not once have I seen one. I thought, oh, I'll have that. Terrible, terrible books. Yeah, some Japanese fellas said, got on a plane, hijacked it and said, take us to Cuba where we'll all get military training.
Sick.
The pilot said, we don't have enough fuel, fuckheads. So they landed in Fukuoka. Then they took off en route to North Korea. They said, oh, you can't get us to Cuba? Let's go to North Korea, next best thing.
Yeah.
The pilot said, yeah, okay. But then they landed in South Korea in an attempt to trick the hijackers. They dressed up. In this time while it's in the air, they dressed up Gimpo Airport in Seoul to imitate a North Korean airport.
Wow.
Don't know the details of that. Just put up a – just paint a quick North
Korea. Hide all the food. Sign it. Hide all the food and tell the airport employees to look sad.
The hijackers wised up. Must have seen the wet paint on the sign and said, oh, now we're angry. Take us to Pyongyang. So they went there and they were offered asylum in North Korea, where they pretty much lived out the rest of their lives in shit conditions and misery. A couple of them got killed trying to leave, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's a – you'd cop the jail in South Korea, wouldn't you?
Oh, any day. They weren't thinking straight.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. Sabidi somehow read this in jail, seen it as a success story and said, yeah, I'm in. It can be done. Let's get on.
Just wanted to travel.
And hijack this plane with the cash. There was an inside man, Medal Ariel. He told the lads, he worked for the bank, he told the lads, there's going to be plenty of Indian currency on the Twin Otter. Get amongst it, fellas. And then a couple of other knockabouts joined them for the fun of it. On the plane, there were three crew and 19 passengers, so packed, including actress and torchbearer for women's cinema, Marla Sinha. She was on the plane.
Tell you what, bet you she didn't sing on board, not like an American singer would.
Oh, man. That
a lot of videos of Seppo's getting up and about with a guitar.
How can you think that's fine?
that would make me furious.
Yeah. I prefer to get punched in the back of the head, I reckon, than have to listen to some people doing a song on board a plane, bringing happiness to the lives of those around them. What do you make of Bollywood? Because that was the tones of Marla Sinha herself. Singer, actress, triple threat.
I don't think I've surely dancers in there, singer, actor, dancer.
Oh yeah.
The original triple threat. Now it's podcaster, crypto dealer, real estate agent.
You.
you know what? I've never seen a full Bollywood film.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I don't know what'll get me into it. You know, it's like opera. I need a pretty basic one up top. Maybe I'll watch the one that Brett Lee was in and then we'll go on from there.
Is he a rock opera or something? I don't know. Not my cup of tea. In addition to Bollywood, I found a couple of Nepalese comedians in my travels.
Right.
I couldn't get them in English, so largely useless for this. But I did watch a film of two of them driving at really fucking high speed along a dirt clifftop road in a combi van cracking jokes to each other. I couldn't stop watching.
Right.
I remember this sort of terror from a bit of third world travel myself, and it's fucking horrendous. Like just when you think the rattling shit box you're in cannot go any faster, it'd be like a fucking truck pass on the outside between you and certain death, downhill going 100. It's the sort of unsafe driving that New Zealand males have all modelled themselves on.
I love it's that sort of stuff, an almost stack at high speed on a fucking scooter that'll really wipe the 18 Bintangs out of my system pretty quick.
Oh, you sober up real quick on that. Put a scooter off a cliff and somehow stay on it yourself. Stone cold. Anyway, how long into the flight do you reckon the fellas got up and started screaming, etc.
Well, how long's the flight?
Oh, it's only a couple of hundred miles. I don't know what that is in a twin otter.
You know what? I don't think they've thought this through on the ground.
Nah, they waited 5 minutes, in fact. The lads had two unlicensed 32 revolvers and one 36 grenade bomb for the threat. I've got my doubts that was licensed.
And also that's the cops just, you know, rubbing salt into the wound there when they're trying to stitch them up for extra stuff. They didn't have their seatbelt on when it was meant to be on. Fine them for that. Gun was unlicensed. It's like, who cares, man? They're hijacking.
Well, they always try to chuck shit on. It's the Al Capone tax thing. 36 grenade. Classic cast iron, ergonomically grooved fragmentation pineapple Mills bomb. Only a few weeks ago, we were chatting grenades, weren't we?
Mm.
One of the most
Adelaide
unwise bits of luggage you could put on a plane. Yeah, was that in Adelaide?
I don't know. Did I tell the story on that ep about that flight in Afghanistan going from, it was going from Kabul back to the UAE on the military plane, and we weren't allowed to use our phones or Bluetooth headphones because they had boxes of grenades on board and they were worried it could interfere with them.
Doesn't instill confidence, does it?
No, just 4 hours in a noisy fucking plane.
How are you going to Bluetooth a pin out of a grenade?
I don't know. I think they stitched us up.
Yeah, they just want to see you suffer. It's like when adults used to say, don't eat a hamburger and go swimming. But why? Mm. Don't know, just don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, fuck, what if that's the only thing I ever want to do?
I don't know if it's enough to make another Four Corners episode about them, but I don't know, I'll send it in.
Got enough on their plate. They forced the pilots to land in a grass field in Forbes Ganj, Bihar, India.
Mate, this twin otter, we're knocking it, but it's fucking good.
Oh, man.
It's getting the job done.
Very good. They made off with three cases containing a total of 3 million rupees.
Woo!
About how much US dollars do you reckon that is?
3 million? Three boxes of cash, 3 million rupee. I'm going to say $120,000.
Nah, $40,000 dollars in today's climate. For me, not worth it. I've never received 40K in one hit for anything. I never will. But I'd rather it not be something as high risk as that.
Yeah, it shouldn't take three blokes to move it.
Although, having said that, adjusted for inflation, that's about $250,000 by today's standards. And you get a lot more bang for your buck in a place like Nepal. So a bit of a bum steer there. Massage the stats from my own ends. Still, quarter mil.
One of our worst listeners would have heard that fact about how much that was worth at the time and in their head thought, if they put that into property then, it'd be worth this much now.
Well, I'd like to think we don't have listeners who are like that. I would like to never meet one.
I'm hoping to think after 113 eps we would have shaken them all off, but you never know.
You'd like to think so. In fact, I'd like to shake off all the fuckheads.
You know those people who go, mate, my house got $48,000.
Oh,
now
the worst.
It's worth 1.4 mil. And you go, yeah, but you hated where you lived your whole life.
And you clearly hate yourself because you're talking about it now and you got nothing else and I'm probably going to punch you before dinner's finished.
Those are the people. You never get that effect about how much a person bought their house for and what it's worth now. That generally comes out of them within the first three sentences. That's not a later in the chat fact that they drop. If they're going to do that, it's early.
Absolutely. People say it's rude to ask. Yeah, well, you don't usually have to. They're just straight out with it. I don't want to know. I could think of nothing I'd like to know less than how much money people have, especially in property. Fucking yuck. The remaining passengers and crew, they said, oh, well, and they took off immediately and got to Kathmandu, no problem, 4 or 5 empty seats. As was the protocol of the day.
You know, we knocked the airline and we knocked the aircraft. They've been hijacked and gone, all right.
Oh, for sure.
Adios.
Yeah.
We're on our way.
They've just gone, no one's injured.
See you, lads.
Let's get on with it. We've got lives to live here. Let's get there. It's only money. It should be misused anyway because even someone with the purest of motives, such as a revolution, as soon as they get their hands on some cold hard, they change and not for the better.
Oh, yeah.
The hijackers, straight after this, they went to Darjeeling, where I imagine they debriefed over a lovely hot cup of tea.
Fucking hell. I love, you'll send me a bunch of clips to look up and pull. then I'll look for other ones. And this was the last one I got. And I thought, fuck it, man, you've reached the bottom of the internet. I don't know if you've ever seen Westworld. You're the man in black.
Yeah.
It's done. Stop looking.
You've reached the end, clocked it.
It's all bad news from here on out for you. Stop looking for any more meaning in the internet. You found this.
Keep it on the board.
That bloke has fucking, he's overcooked that. Oh, I'd be ropeable if someone drank it. That's a by himself tea.
I could do that. I could do that right now.
But still not the slurp.
Okay.
He's taking
that. I reckon, to you now.
I reckon the cup of tea is only half full, but his lips are on the rim and he's just gone, just sucked it up the side. That's the sound that's made.
I love how the English talk about tea like it's some sort of technical drink. You can. There's all these little nuances. No, there's not. It's hot water. Yours has scum floating around in the top of it and drink it when it's not too hot. Job done.
Mate, I'll tell you what. Some people put milk in before the hot water, which is...
Oh, that's not on.
That is something else. No.
Well, put milk in anyway. Then the lads went to northern Indian Ganges river town, Banaras. There's a bit of heat on their tails, so they had to keep moving.
Surely, though, they're in a region of the world where three boxes of cash, you could be president pretty soon. You just keep buying your way up.
Well, you joke about that.
oh, no.
They went to Mumbai, where you could pretty much never find anyone. And then they went to New Delhi to meet BP Koirala, a Nepalese revolutionary and former prime minister, and the main hijacker's brother. And he said, yeah, good one. You're fucking idiots. They all got arrested within a year, got chucked in the clink. Then, not too long later, in 1977, they were all released on bail due to the end of the emergency in India, which is something I don't know all the ins and outs of, but I do know Indira Gandhi wanted total control and her son was getting about forcing sterilisation of the populace. That ended and they said, yeah, prisoners, see you later. Koirala, right, the brains behind the operation, not the former prime minister one, his brother who did the hijacking, and he was affectionately known as Girija Babu, went on to become the first democratically elected prime minister of Nepal in 1991. Live to dream.
Great.
Imagine a former hijacker being our prime minister. It'd be sick.
Mate, we've got a bloke that shit himself at a Macca's. So,
yeah, you know. That's it. I mean, if he was a better bloke, people would think that's cool.
Yeah.
Like if he was Bob Hawke, they'd go, yeah, cool, mate. Piss off your balcony straight in the harbour. You drink a yard glass at the cricket. You shit your dacks at Macca's. Who cares?
Did Bob Hawke piss into the harbour from his balcony?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not on film or anything. Yeah, I think so. I think he just used to piss off the edge.
Great.
That's what I was told. Someone who went and interviewed him, he said, hang on a sec, just went over and just pissed off the edge. I don't think it's direct into the harbour.
Yeah.
But he'd be blasting some skid marks off with that if he could reach the actual harbour from his balcony.
That's just someone eating a fucking $28 sandwich that's just been pissed on by the PM.
He and his mates ended up successfully overthrowing the Panchayat system, local governments ruled by old people. Babu was acting head of state of Nepal from 2007 to 2008 as the country transitioned from monarchy to republic.
He's flying.
Knockabout lad with a grenade. Never give up, kids. 2010.
Well, you know, that's what prison's meant to be for.
Yeah.
It's meant to be, you know, do the crime, do the time.
Rehabilitate.
Rehabilitate. You come out, clean slate.
New me. New year, new me.
Never is, though.
In 2010, though, I've got to say, RIP, Babu. Oh. Gone too soon. Died at 85.
Like a comet blazing across the evening sky. Gone too soon.
See you, Babu. Love your work.
See you, Babs. Very good innings for an agitator such as Babs.
Mm.
I'll tell you what, it's a handy. Like, I can't stand that Michael Jackson song. I'm fucking ashamed I ever brought it in here, but it is handy when you want a sip of your drink just to kill someone off.
Oh, yeah.
You know how long you got? Have a sip. Straight back to the mic. Sabidi, the bloke who was inspired by the Japanese hijacker idiots, he served 2 years in jail for his efforts. Then he went on to broker peace talks between the Nepalese government and Maoist rebels in 2006. Good bloke. Again, dream big. Never too late to make amends.
This is great.
Yeah.
We should do a Where Are They Now for our for some of our criminals on here.
I do try.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes they're hard to find. The plane itself, this is one very interesting little tidbit. This exact twin otter, Rego 9 NABB, flew in the Nepalese skies for another 41 years.
Oh.
With only one notable incident in that time.
Well, I assume at the end?
No.
Oh.
No, July 5, 1992, with no passengers on board, it ran off a runway on takeoff, hit the perimeter fence, no one injured, pilot fuck up.
Turned it around.
There was a third incident.
Yeah.
For this exact plane, that was in 2014.
I'm getting ready for a sip here. Yeah.
When it flew into the side of a mountain in Nepal during bad weather, three times a charm. Like a castle built upon a sandy beach.
Gone too soon.
Oh. Tell you what, that day, 17 boogie men and women, and in fact one boogie child, were created out there in the snow.
Oh.
Bits of wreckage were found 7 kilometres away.
Whoa, that's a doozy.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you're on a plane and you're not in the process of taking off or landing, get above 8,850 metres in altitude, you will never hit a mountain. You can take that to the fucking bank.
The pilots should get on every time once you're above 8,850.
Woo! We're fine, mate. Yeah. We can go anywhere, people. Anywhere. Name it. We can go there. The plane, it got gathered up and reassembled in the BP Museum in Kathmandu. Crazy jigsaw, that.
Oh, I thought you said they were going to put it back together, get it back in service.
No, no, no.
I still got a few years, this.
You cannot kill this.
When you see a yellow Ford Falcon, you go, oh, hold on.
Yeah.
It's got a million on it. Easy. There's different colour panels, but it's mainly yellow.
Yeah.
Being replaced by, you know.
Oh, the only original bit's a steering wheel or something. Replaced every single other thing.
Three regular tyres and a go-kart tyre. Yeah, that can't be right. Still going. Now they've put it together in a museum.
Yeah, 7 odd kilometres of plane wreckage in forested mountains, put back together with a positive can-do attitude and a full serving of the human spirit, going to Paul. Some might see that as a waste of time.
Yeah, definitely. But it's less to do with the plane and more to do with how good their, you know, recovery teams are.
What, they can find all the bits of it and put it back together?
Yeah.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to go there and see it and go, nah, it's missing, clearly missing a couple of key elements. Got to be.
Where's a black box? Yeah.
Yeah. Little bit of, we're going to wind up in a second, bit of last minute trivia before we go. Did you know in Nepal at KFC, you can get a biryani bucket?
Sick.
Yeah.
That's what I'm about. Other countries' fast food restaurants.
Oh, let's, man. See what, no McDonald's, obviously, but I'd like to see what they try and serve up. Fucking sensational.
Just a biryani burger.
Biryani burgers. Well, they don't like cow products, so that McDonald's not allowed in. In fact, there's about 100 countries in the world that don't allow McDonald's in.
Really?
Not all for religious purposes. Some just don't fucking like them.
I love that. I love what some towns in Australia have held off. They tend to break eventually. But yeah. I do love a fuck off. Not having it.
Yeah. Mate, that brings us to the end of this episode. Hope it's been all right.
We've done it.
On the road, continuing. On the fucking road. By the time this episode comes out, in fact, my show at the Enmore Theatre will be a couple of days away, and I know for a fact there are a lot of empty seats. So if anyone's in Sydney wants to come, Saturday the 14th, get around it.
Everyone listening right now, buy 10 tickets each to Luke Heggie at the Enmore.
What do you got on? Where are you? Where
tell
are
those looking? 9 to buy another 10. I'll be in Perth Saturday 14th of May. At the Astor, I believe, or Astor? I forget.
Astor. Yeah, it's the
Astor. It is the Astor. No, but this is fucking take 17 for that show.
Yeah,
so it just keeps rolling over.
Oh, still pretty good, man. A lot of seats to fill. there.
That should be a fun one. The week after, I'm in Newcastle, hosting Newcastle Comedy Gala on the Friday night and then solo show on the Saturday.
Nice one. I'll be Newcastle week after that, I believe. And then not too long later, heading down to Hobart, Launceston. So get around it.
Yes. Stand up and live mid-flight brawl. So for the tickets for the mid-flight brawl, get to midflightbrawl.com. If you want to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/midflightbrawl. Thanks to everyone that does and bloody keep sending us messages. We love them.
Righto, mate. See you next week.
See you, mate. Thanks for tuning in to Mid-Air Brawl. This is our very first episode. Heggy, you're already shaking your head.
It's mid-flight brawl, dickhead.
Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, ready to go. The clap. Hang on, sorry, I fucked it. Clap.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.